and Dinah Vilna. He once visited Trieste, Italy. And he was a Kohen, so they said they duchen every day. We'll have to get to that. By the Sfardim, they duchen every day. So they said, we're going to be mechabed you, that you should duchen. So he said, what do you mean, mechabed me? All the Kohanim duchen. So they explained, no, their minig is only one Kohen. All the Kohanim stand in the front, 10 Kohanim. One says the Recha Hashem Yishmerecha, and the others just stand there with the hand stretched out, and the Yotze with Shemei Kohanim. So he writes in his Sefer, it's the first time he ever saw such a thing, first time he ever heard of such a thing. He started to think about it, and he realized it's often a Mishnah Megillah. There's a Mishnah Megillah that no one understands. The Gemara doesn't explain. The Rishami doesn't explain. The Mefarshim and the Mishnais don't explain. So it says that if this, it says whoever, I already forgot what it says, whoever is gets maftir, or whoever is paris al hashma, he has the right to duchen. What do you mean he has the right to duchen? All the Kohanim have to duchen. You mechuyev to duchen if you're a Kohen. So it said it must be that this was the practice bizman atanayim, that only one Kohen would recite the duchening and all the other Kohanim would be yotze with Shemei Kohen. And that's what it means. To whom do you give the schus? Who gets the schus to be the leader? To say the duchening, to be yotze the others, the Shemei Kohen? Whoever got maftah. In the days of the Tanaim, maftah was a busha. Maftah was a bizoyin. Today, everybody fights to get maftah. In the days of the Tanaim, it was a bizoyin. So I think it says in the Mishnah, whoever, Mishnah Megillah, whoever gets maftah, if he's a Kohen, he has the right to duchen. And then the Beis Halevi has a Sefer HaChumash. Rabbi Yosef Ber Briska has a Sefer. That's Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik's father. He has a Sefer HaChumash called Beis Halevi. So in between Bereishis and Shmos, there used to be a blank page. So they used to write Kadesh Alo Lahotzi Haniyor Cholok. They didn't want to waste Chalila a blank page, because Shmos, he wanted to start on Omer Aleph. Bereishis starts on Omer Aleph, and Shmos, he wants to start on Omer Aleph. So there's a blank page. So he writes. He printed four paragraphs, each one unrelated to the other, four independent Chidushei Torah. So he has one comment on this. So he doesn't want to write who the Sefer is. He doesn't want to be Mevazim. So he says, a new Sefer just came out, in which it says, he doesn't say it's the Reshis Bikurim by Tzalo Vilna, new Sefer just came out, in which he writes that it's acceptable, it's proper that a Kohen should say the Duchening, and the other Kohanim just stand there, they don't say a word, and the Yotze with Shemei Kohenim. So he writes, with all due respect, it's not correct, it cannot be correct, because the halacha requires a duchening should be b'kol ram, and here the fellow who just holds his hand up, he's not even whispering. He doesn't say anything, nobody hears his voice. So feltach and kol ram. So it's no good, it's not kol ram. So he says, he's wrong. You cannot apply Shemei Kohenim to duchening.
Whoever says
it says out loud. So it is kol ram, right? Right, so that's what the Nitziv was, the Korash Yeshiva and Valojan together with the Beis Halevi. There was a whole dispute. They got along very well together. They became Mechutanim. The Beis Halevi's son, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, married the granddaughter of the Nitziv. So the two Rabbanim got along very well, but the Talmidim were always arguing with each other, because Beis Halevi was a big Baal Mechadesh and the Nitziv was very bland, was very flat, old style learning. And the Beis Halevi at that time was a new style. Then he had a son, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, was Gor, the new style, the very new style. So the Nitziv has in his Chuvas, in the Mesh of Dover, in the end of Chelek Arachaim, he has He'oris on Shulchan Aruch Chelek Arachaim. So he has in the He'oris, a new Sefer just came out. Doesn't want to say whom he's attacking. And he writes that you can't be Yotzei with Shemei Kohenim and Duchening because you need Kol Ram. So he says, and what's with Mikra Bikurim? The Gemara says when you recite Mikra Bikurim, the Aniso V'Amarta Lefnei Hashem Lekecha Rami Yavid Avi, so Mikra Bikurim is also supposed to be B'Kol Ram. It says V'Aniso V'Amarta. And the Mishnah says in Bikurim that whoever could recite Rami Yavid Avi would say on his own. Whoever doesn't know how to say Rami Yavid Avi, so somebody would say it for him. And there would be Yotze with Shemei Kohenim. So how can it be Yotze with Shemei Kohenim if he say that you need B'kol Ram? The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Mikra B'kol has to be B'kol Ram. When you yotze with Shemei Kohenim, it's not called Kol Ram. Isn't it against the Mishnah? Mishnah says, the practice used to be, those who know how to say Mikra B'kol, they can say Arami Avid Avi. How do they know how to say Arami Avid Avi? So the Mishnah says, they used to have a plaque on the wall in the Beis HaMikdash, they had Arami Avid Avi. But you're not allowed to write out the whole Arami Avid Avi. You're not allowed to write less than the Sefer Sholem. So not going to go write a job, write the whole Chumash Dvarim and hang it on the wall. So they didn't do that. So they wrote Arami Ovid Ovi and Rosh HaTevis. No, Dafin Hab Roch HaKodesh to figure out what the Rosh HaTevis says. Aleph, Arami Ovid Ovi. Aleph. Vayer Mitzrayim Avav Mem and a whole bunch of other Rosh HaTevis there. So some of the farmers, we're talking about farmers. So the farmers brought the Bikurim. So those who were geniuses can figure out what it said there, Arami Ovid Ovi and the Rosh HaTevis. Those who were not super geniuses couldn't figure out what it said. So they had to have someone else recite it for them when they were Yotze with Shemei
Kohen. They would repeat after the Kohen. I don't think
the
Kohen said it once, then they repeated it after him.
So the Netziv in his Sefer... So the Netziv quotes the two Pirushim. The Yerushalmi has a Pirush and the others have another Pirush. What that means, they said, Zog Nach, word for word, say after me, Arami Ravid Avi, and the farmer said, Arami Ravid Avi. And other Mepharshim say no, not that they said word for word after them. There were motzi of them with Shemei Kohen. So that's his kasha. According to Hef, the Mepharshim, it means that there were motzi of them with Shemei Kohen. But you need kol ram. So where's the kol ram? So Zetman, whenever you have kol ram, if I'm saying kol ram, it carries over to the other one. It's considered as if he said the kol ram. Yeah. So the Pashto says, well, whatever it's supposed to be, whatever he did, is carries over to me. So the Kol Ram should also carry over.
If you're in the middle of
Shmoneser,
you're also the same way.
You listen to the Chazan, Chazan says, yeah. So that's the Taina that the Tziv has against the Beis HaLevi. How can you say that whenever you need Kol Ram, you can't be Yotze B'Shemei Koine, because in Mamash, not even Balachash, just less than Balachash. No, but the one is saying the Kol Ram. So this Kol Ram carries over to me. So the Netziv says he agrees with the Beis HaLevi. He doesn't say by name whom he's talking about. He agrees halacha lemaisa with the Beis HaLevi that against the Rebbe Tzalo, he agrees that you cannot be moitzi another kohen with duchening. You have to say it yourself, but he has a different tam. He thinks the reason that the Beis HaLevi gave you need the Kol Ram is not correct. He thinks that the reason why you don't say Shemei Kohen is because we were discussing the other week. The Ran in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the Ran in the Rif, in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quotes the Yerushalmi that there were three exceptions to the rule where we don't allow Shemei Kohen. So one of the three is davening. So when you daven, you have to say yourself. It's not right to rely on Shemei Kohen. So the Netziv says, when you say Baruch Hashem Yishmerecha, you're davening to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he should give you a bracha. So since the Yerushalmi says it's not proper to rely on Shemei Kohen by davening, so does he say he get davened? The Sias Kapayim, the duchening is also called davening.
Say that in the sukkah,
you can't say Kaddish unless you have 9 people listening to you and answering. So if they all say in unison, it's a little bit better. But if everybody's pulling in a different direction and you don't have 10 people, you don't have 9 people answering for each one, that's taka not right. Duchening also. In Broyers, the Kohanim have to practice in advance. And they sing the Niggun out together. So it's like a choir. So that's the way it should be.
But that's Trekoli.
No, Trekoli means if they're not orchestrated together. But if they organize it together and they sing it together like a choir, then it is good. If everybody's saying at a different time, then you say Trekoli Lashon.
That's how it says it by Kiddush. They say by Kiddush in the Sukkah, one should say, then
because
the
they don't synchronize it. Because they're not synchronized. But if they would be synchronized, then
that
it would be
okay.
Good. Yeah, then it would be good. But usually they're not synchronized.
Most Kohanim try to add together.
And, yeah, but usually they don't start together. Each one's pulling in another direction.
Is that the reason why
Breuer's
only one person says
Kaddish? Yeah, the practice all over the world was like that. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch. Only one person says Kaddish. You're not supposed to have more than one person. And then during the lifetime of Rabbi Kivega, they write this from, there was an epidemic, and so many people died, that if they would alternate only one oval at a time with say Kaddish, you would only get a chance to say Kaddish once a week, or once every 2 weeks. Hundreds of people died in an epidemic. So Rabbi Kivega introduced this practice, let everybody say Kaddish in unison. And then later on, when the epidemic was over, so then there was a big machlokes. What did Rabbi Kivega introduce over here? Did he intend it as a hayrua shor only because of the epidemic? But after the epidemic is over, you go back to the old system, the way it's described in Shulchan Aruch. Only one person at a time says Kaddish. Oh no, Rabbi Kivega meant to change the practice. Rabbi Kivega lived in Germany. And in Germany, they understood that their German God of Rabbi Kivega meant as hayrua shor. And the rest of the world who didn't live in Germany understood, no, Rabbi Kivega decided to change the age-old practice. Shulchan Aruch says for centuries, they only had one person saying Kaddish. Then they give you all the rules and regulations. Who has the right to say the first Kaddish? Are you in Shloshim? Are you in Beis Chodesh? Is it a parent or a different relative? They have all the Seder Kedimas.
Also, if you say Tzibur, then you don't say Kaddish.
Yeah, because the Shlech Tzibbe says Kaddish, so he doesn't need another Kaddish, right? The Kaddish Yosem is instituted, the Rosh writes in the end of Brachas, Kaddish Yosem is instituted for Ktanim who cannot daven for an Omid. So they can't say Kaddish, but whoever can daven for an Omid, so what does he need? Nochah Kaddish Yosem. He's saying the Kaddish to Skabal, he's saying the Kaddish before Shemana Esrei, whatever. That's how the Rosh writes.
Can Kohen Ilem, we cannot speak. You know, Ilem is a, can he go out duchnen like you see, like the Sfaradim?
Oh, that's exactly the shaila. If you apply Shemei Kohen, so he just stands there with his hands spread out, yes, and he listens to the other kohen and he's going to the duchening with Shemei Kohen. Yeah. That's a further discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe you don't say, should you not say Shemei Kohen? Maybe you only say Shemei Kohen if one is able to say the broche, so then Shemei Kohen. But if he's saying a roi v'daber, so in Shulchan Aruch they quote such an opinion. The Ran and Sukkah has such an opinion that if you're not roi v'daber, then you can't say Shemei Kohen. And the Shagas Aryeh has a whole siman where he doesn't agree. He disagrees. He explains why Kol Sheinu Roi LeBila, Bila Miyakevis shouldn't apply over here. He says the only time we say such an idea, if that person is not right to speak, then it can't be Yotze B'Shemei Kaina. If there would have been a din that L'chatchila Shemei Kaina is no good, L'chatchila should really have Dibur, so then I would say, alright, but B'Yevit Shemei Kaina, and when he's Ein Roi LeDaber, then it's worse than even B'Yevit is no good. But he says Shemei Kaina is good L'chatchila. So why should you say if it's ain't a roila daber, then it's worse? You don't need lechatchila that you should. You don't even require lechatchila dibur. So again, so this is a big machlokes in achrayim, where the standing on the duchen is leikuva. So some of the achrayim write, no, duchening means the kohanim have to stand on an elevated platform. They don't stand on an elevated platform. You're not yoytze the duchening, even if everybody hears everything. That's the halacha, has to be on top of a platform.
So
they say you don't duchen. These achrenim hold you don't duchen. So those achrenim who say like that are very few, three or four svarim. They're all svardish gedolim. None of the Ashkenazim say like that. So I remember years ago, the first time the second time I visited Eretz Yisrael. So we're davening in Yeshivat Kol Torah on Shabbos. So they have a very small platform in front of the Oren Kodesh. First, the svardish boys walked up on the platform, and then after they walked up, so a couple of Ashkenazim walked up also, there was a little more room, so another two or three Ashkenazim walked up, and the rest of the Ashkenazim stood on the floor, because the only poskim hold that it's ma'akev are several Sfardish achrenim, so only the Sfardim were choshish for that opinion. By the Kaisel Maravi also, a lot of times when they do him by the Kaisel, so they'll bring milk crates. They'll bring wooden milk crates to stand on top of it. No, they say Dafke is supposed to have an elevation, a duchen. You should Dafke have a duchen. You should Dafke have a duchen.
When they say Shalosh Brachos, that means that there's three mitzvahs.
The Gemara says later there are three mitzvahs. We'll have to get to that Gemara. The Gemara says on Amid Beis. On Lamed Chesam, it begins about 10 lines from the top. Om Rab Shom Alevi, the line begins with the word Kol Koyin. Kol Koyin Shein Oile LeDuchen, whoever Koyin doesn't go to Duchen, over B'Shloisha Esek. There are three mitzvahs I say. Why? Because it says three times. Kosa Baruch is B'nai Yisrael Amar Lahem. Then it says at the end V'sam Hashmiel B'nai Yisrael V'an Yavarchim. So it says three times that Kohanim HaMuchiv Teduchim. That's a big machlokes HaRishayim. How do you understand this Gemara? So the Rambam said, the Rambam makes a big fuss about this in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says the only reason why it's repeated three times is for emphasis, and the Gemara is not to be taken literally. You can't have three mitzvahs essay to do exactly the same thing. A kefil alav or a kefil hesay is only counted once in the minyan mitzvahs. And why is it repeated? L'chizah kleinyan, for emphasis.
But there are three brachas also.
Yeah, but they're all ma'akev. Everything is ma'akev. So it's only one mitzvah. The Rambam holds only one mitzvah.
Then the mikdash would be only one mitzvah.
No, no, that's a different thing. No, the Rambam says it's always only one mitzvah. So it's always one mitzvah. And the Rambam writes also, there is a gemara in the end of Makkos, the gemara is in Pesachim also, there is some certain non-kosher fish, ochel patisa loika arba, namola loika chamish, tzira loika shesh. If you eat a certain non-kosher fish, you get four times malchus. Eat a different kind of fish, different kind of sherets, you get five times malchus. So what is that all about? So there are different interpretations in the gemara. So at Tzara Shava, all the interpretations, aside from the Rambam, Rashi and Tosfos and the Ramban and the Goyim, they all assume that you look in Chumash VaYikra, how many times is it repeated that you're not allowed to eat Sheretz HaMayim? So according to how many times it's repeated, that's how many Averis you violated, and that's how many times you get Malkus. That's called a Kefil Alav. The Pasuk just repeats the same Lav over and over and over again, so you get Malkus according to how many times the Pasuk is repeated. So they understood the Gemara literally. If there are three mitzvahs sesa that a Kohen should duchen, and there are four averes, if you eat the same sheretz hamayim, there are four averes, even though it's just a repeat. And the Rama makes a big fuss about this in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, as well as in the Mishnah Torah, in the beginning of Hilchos Macholos Asuras. He says there is no such thing. When you have a kefil alav, the exact same pasuk is repeated several times, it's only for emphasis, and you don't get extra malchus. In the Minyan HaMitzvahs, in the Taryag Mitzvahs, you only count duchening as one mitzvah saseh, and not to eat sheretz, amayim is counted as one mitzvah slices. So what does the Gemara mean? You get four times malchus, five times malchus, six times malchus. What is it all about? So we learned the Gemara in Malchus, and the Rambam has a unique interpretation. He says if you eat a non-kosher sheretz oaf that flies, you have ways to determine whether any given bird is kosher or non-kosher. A non-kosher bird is called sheretz oif, so that's one lot. If you eat sheretz oaretz, if you eat a non-kosher animal that runs around on the ground, there's another lav. If you eat sheretz hamayim, a fish that swims, that's not kosher, so you get malchus. What if you ate an animal that flies and it swims and it crawls on the ground? So the Rambam says, so you get three malchus, they're three different averis. The Ravid says, there ain't no such thing. What do you mean? And it dances also, and it sings and it plays the guitar also. What does it do? What's such a pella? What's a, the Rambam says, there is such an animal. Apparently, the Ravid meant to say, but in biology, how do you label it? Is it a sheretz hamayim? Is it a sheretz of? Is it a sheretz haaretz? In biology, you don't label it as all three. It swims a little bit on the side, but it's not a fish. It's basically an animal that crawls on the ground. Or it's basically a bird. It swims a little bit also. No, but it's basically a fowl. So the Ravid is masik on the Rambam. He says the pshat of Rashi and Tosfos and the Goyim is correct. That you just have to look in Chumash and see how many times the lav is repeated, and that's how many lavim you violate, and even though it's mamash al kefil al lav, repeat the exact same lav, you get malchus several times. And the Rambam says no, that the three times malchus is, if it flies, it's a sheretz oif, and it crawls, it's a sheretz aretz, and it swims, it's a sheretz amayim, and it's spontaneously generated. And he says, and anybody who doesn't believe in spontaneous generation doesn't know the ABC of science, the Rambam throws in. So it's spontaneously generated, then there's another malchus. And a pisnocha, he tells you how to get five times malchus, how to get six times malchus. Nocha dances in a place, a guitar, whatever. He has a whole bunch of, each one is a separate love. He said, that's why it's counted as a separate love. Tosfos has a famous kasha on the first Mishnah in Temura. It says, there's a pasuk, the psukim mechumish. It says, lo yachlifenu, v'lo yomarais, at the end of chumish v'yikra. If you have a carbon, and you decide, no, this carbon is not bekovedik. I want to transfer the kedushas carbon onto a more bekovedik abeim. Or you decide, this carbon is too expensive. I can't afford so much. I want to transfer the kedusha onto a less valuable carbon, and I'll keep this one for myself. So it says, Nechumish leach lefenu to bera or rabato. Whether you're doing better or you're doing worse, you're not allowed to do that. And if you did tamurim, hey, miyamras, vahay yuhus marasi yakodesh. So they're both kodesh. So the Mishnah says if you violate a tamura, you're like a soifek esar aboim. You get malchus once. Soifek esar aboim, he absorbs once malchus. So Tosfos has the famous kasha in the first daf in Chulin, really belongs on the first daf in Tmura. But the Gemara in Chulin quotes it on the first daf, so Tosfos has the kasha in Chulin. Why shouldn't it be twice malchus? It says, lo yachlifenu, velo yamarois, it's two lavim. So the Brisker Rav points out the whole kasha is only Tosfos lishita sam, because Tosfos goes like Rashi and like the Gaon, whenever you have a pasuk that's repeated several times, like duchening, it's really three mitzvahs, and like the sheretz amayim, it's really four lavim. It's repeated many times. It counts as many lavim. So here also, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamaraisai is exactly the same thing. And Tosfos holds. No, it's repeated, so it should be counted as two lavim. We don't know how in the world Tosfos would calculate the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam claims that the duchening is one mitzvah, and the sheretz is one. And lo yachlifenu v'lo yamaraisai is one. And the Rambam has another 613 mitzvahs in addition. So which mitzvahs is Tosfos going to throw out? The Gemara says there are only 613 mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs sase, 365 mitzvahs lo sase. So how did Tosfos make the calculations? Very unclear. Very unclear. All the Rishonim how they calculate. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that there are three mitzvahs sase on the kohen that he should duchen, and the Rambam says it's just for emphasis. It really means only one mitzvah sase. Here the Mishnah says a different thing. Bigvulin chutz lebeis hamigdosh, Karim say Rech Hashem Yishmerech, everybody screams out Amen. Yer Hashem Pano Vlech Mechunek, everybody screams out Amen. Yishmerech Pano Vlech Yos Mechol Sholem, everybody screams out Amen. So that's three different brachas. The three psukim constitute three different brachas, and you answer Amen at the conclusion of each one of the brachas. And in the Beis Hamigdosh, some of the brachas go on Ruchnias, some of the brachas go on Gashmias. So chutz lebeis hamigdosh, they're two different realms. Ruchnius and Gashmius are two different realms. In the Beis HaMikdash, we assume everything blends in together. Ruchnius, Gashmius, all together. So they don't answer, nobody answers after V'yishmerecha, V'yichunecha, nobody answers anything. They complete all the three psukim, and then you say what you're supposed to say. Then the Tzibur answers. It's treated as one big brocha, that's the Mishnah. Ba Medina, Medina means outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Amaraisa, Shalosh brochas. There are three different psukim, and the Tzibur answers Amen at the conclusion of each one of the three psukim. That's the last line in the Mishnah, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Uba Migdosh, in the Beis HaMikdosh, we blend together Ruchnis with the Gashmias, so you say Brocha Achas. There's an interesting comment that Rashi makes, I think, on Parshas Tzav, when the Pasuk says here, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk here on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph in the middle of the Daf, so it says, Vayikra Tes. Vayisa Aranis Yodav Elohom Vayibrochim. So Rashi writes on that pasuk, Aaron lifted up his hands and he said the duchening. So Rashi writes, Yivarechecha Yoyer Yisu. He might think that he said Behinoyam, or he said something else. Vayivrochem, he gave the tzibur a brocha. You should have nachas from the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe he composed a new brocha. The Rashi says no. Vayivrochem, he said Yivarechecha Yoyer Yisu. So it sounds from Rashi that he gave the three brochas in the Beis Hamikdash, and it sounds from Rashi as if there were three different brochas. So the Mefarshim asked, but the Mishnah says that was in the Mishkan, when they first built the Mishkan. So it says in the Mikdash, it's only Bracha Achas. So why does Rashi quote from the Tanoim, from the Torah Kahanim, from the Sifra? Yivarechecha Yoyer Yiso, it's not supposed to be treated as three brachas. You should have said Yivarechecha. Yivarechecha v'chulei. Shouldn't be Yivarechecha Yoyer Yiso. Yivarechecha Yoyer Yiso sounds like they were farechent as three different brachas, and in Mikdash it's only supposed to be counted as one bracha. So I think some of the Mefarshim explain. I seem to remember Rav Herzog said this over once, years ago. He said the Shechina didn't come down yet. When they first built the Mishkan, and said Vayered V'Yisaren Es Yoram Vayered Me'achos Achatas V'Ho'ila, the Shechina didn't come down yet, so it didn't yet have a din of Mishkan. So it was still Ba Medina.
Right.
Well, Haraya, the Shechina didn't come down, so the Shechina came down afterwards. So that's Rav Herzog said over. Kozman, the Shechina didn't come down yet, so it's not yet, doesn't yet have the status of Mikdash. So then you treat the three psukim as three separate brachas. That's why Rashi quotes from the Toras Kahanim, Yivarechecha Yoyer Yisa. At that time, Taka was three brachas, but after the Shechina came down, and then has the din of Bamigdash, Bracha Achas, then they wouldn't proclaim, they wouldn't recite the three psukim, the three different brachas. Everything was considered one big bracha, and the tzibur answered amen at the end of the whole duchening. They answered amen. So that's the Mishnah.
Over amen after the mikdash, amen is inside. What did they say? Why isn't A? Why didn't they say amen? B? What did they recite?
They said the Gemara Numa says when somebody says a bracha in the Beis Hamikdash, you never say amen. Baruch Hashem, Elokeiso min ha'olam ad ha'olam. I think. And the Bais Rishon is said Baruch Hashem Elokeiso min ha'olam. Then the beginning of Bais Sheni, Mishe Pokru Haminim, when the Minim didn't believe in Olam Abba, so it says the first day in Bais Sheni, the Pasuk says in Nechemia, that's how they said the Baruch. Baruch Hashem Elokeiso min ha'olam ad ha'olam, Magin Avram or whatever. So in the Beis Hamikdash, they never said Amen. Whenever a Chazan said Chazaros Hashem, they never said Amen. So the Kohen would do, and also they wouldn't say Amen. They would say such a Nusach also. But they wouldn't say it after Virechecha Yoyer Yisa. They only said it at the end of all the three brachas. So that was the first distinction between the Migdash and Bamedina. In Migdash, they don't answer Aniyah. There is no Aniyah Sakohol after the first two psukim. They treat everything as one big bracha. The second difference is based on a pasuk in Chumash. Kol Mokam Asher Asker Shmi Ovo Yelecha Ve'erach Ticha. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeshmi li'olam zeh zichri l'dor dor. Zeshmi, this is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, le'olam, so le'olam is chasavav. It's spelled le'olam. Le'olam has the connotation of le'ha'alim, to keep it a secret. So you're not supposed to pronounce the Shem Hashem. And even when you do pronounce it, you should try to keep it a secret from the public how you pronounce it. V'zeh zichri l'dor v'dor, this is instead of lo kishem shani nichtam ani nikra, whenever the Kohanim say Yibrech Hashem, Yor Hashem Ponavech Yis Hashem, the Shem Hashem is written in the Chumash Yud Kei Vav Kei. When they pronounce it Chutz LaMikdash, they don't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. They say instead Akinoi, they say, we say Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. This is quotes to Rabbeinu Hillel over here. On the next daf, they quote the Rabbeinu Hillel. Rabbeinu Hillel wrote a commentary on the Sifrei. Many years ago, Rabbi Hutner published a commentary on the Rabbeinu Hillel's commentary on the Sifrei. I don't know what's that is. I don't know what's Agifal. Why dafka on the Rabbeinu Hillel? I don't know. So he has a long discussion of this one, that the Rabbeinu Hillel, quoted by the Tosfos from his commentary on the Sifrei, says that when the Kohanim bayas duchen, they don't say Yibarechecha Yud Kei Vav Kei. So what do they say? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Rabbeinu Hillel says they can say Tzvokas, they can say Shakai, they can say Elokim, they can say anything but Yud Kei Vav Kei. But what do they have to say? Whatever they want. They can substitute any other day. We usually assume not so. We usually assume Bekinoi means you have to say Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's the Shem Hashem that substitutes for Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's the second difference. The first difference is in Migdosh, there is no Aniyah after the first and the second Pasuk, only after the third Pasuk. You treat all the Psukim, all the three Psukim, as one unit of a Bracha, and then the Tzibur answers what they answer. They don't say Amen, they say Baruch Hashem, okay, so and so on. The second difference is in Migdosh, it's a din, Kol Mokam Asher Asker Shmi Ovo Elecha Ve'erach Ticha. Only in the Beis HaMikdosh is it Asker Shmi. Baruch Shalom says, I give you permission to pronounce my name. Asker means I give you permission. Not that I pronounce my name, I give you permission to pronounce the Shem on Feirosh.
What do you mean Bechol Mokom?
Any place that I give you permission, it's only the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan Shiloh, wherever, yeah, Mishkan Shiloh. So let's say, if someone says, Sha'akal Nibadvar, Koyen drinks a cup of tea in the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. It means if it's a Kiyam in Mikdash. So when the Kohen Gadol says L'Hashem Chatos, or he says Lefnei Hashem Tatoru, that's part of the Seder HaVodah, that he has to say that on Yom Kippur. So then he pronounces Yud Kei Vav Kei Kichsovoy, and everybody hears the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei V'Cholam Ha'ol Ma'azor Akor Mishtach V'Modim V'Nafum Al-Pnei V'Yom V'Ruch Shem Kvay Machutz Al-Yom V'Vod, because they heard the Shem HaFarish. Duchening is also Kim in Migdosh. Duchening is connected with Akrovas HaKarbonis. That's what the Gemara is going to point out from that Pasuk in Parshas Tzav, in Vayikra, chapter 10, it says, V'yisharen esyot avalon v'yivorchem v'yered me'asos hachatas v'ho'ilo. It means that the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur, Aaron HaKoyin recited the Duchening. So that's a special Kim HaMikdash. Sha'akal ni'ibadwara, over a cup of tea, has no shaykhes with the Beis HaMikdash. That doesn't have to be the Shem HaMfarash.
Over a cup of tea?
Kachin Kachin on Chilus Kachin Kachin, they're eating the korban, lechem upanim.
When they say the bracha, you mean?
Yeah.
It's a good question. Oh no, it never says in the Gemara. It's a good question. It can only be eaten in the Beis Hamikdash. It can only be eaten in the Azar. I don't know. That's a good point. The Pashtus in the Gemara is that the Shavuos HaSoto, when you mashbir the Soto and she pronounces Shem Hashem, so the Pashtus in the Gemara that has to be in the Beis Hamikdash that she pronounces Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Because the Shavuos HaSoto is a special kiyum in the Beis Hamikdash. The husband has to bring his wife to the Beis Hamikdash, and then the Kohen is mashbir her b'Shavuos HaSoto. So the Gemara sounds like that has to be the Shema Mefarash. Yeah, this is the Gemara says this in Kiddush and Dafayin, that when the Kohanim were duchen every day in the Beis Hamikdash, so the Kohanim who were pious people and they were taught by their Rabbeim what the correct pronunciation for Yud Kei Vav Kei is, so they would pronounce it properly. Those Kohanim who were not Roy Lekach, so they kept it a secret from them, so they didn't let them know. So it's partially the problem. How can you keep it a secret? You have to duchen the Kol Rom.
Right.
In the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, everybody heard the Shema Mefarash. How could it be that they didn't know?
But
I don't know.
But doesn't the Gemara in Yom say that after Shema Tzadik, they didn't pronounce it?
Okay, but at the time that they did pronounce it, how can there be such a thing that some knew and the others didn't know? Those that didn't know, didn't they hear the others that they said it? So the Gemara says they used to sing a niggin to drown out the voice of the Kohanim who knew the Shema Mefarash, so no one would hear. So if nobody hears Hafaltach and Kol Ram, the whole idea of Kol Ram is that everybody should hear Hafaltach and Kol Ram. There's something missing over here. I don't know. And they didn't all hear on Yom Kippur. It says Hakar Ram Ham De Bazar Kam Shtachem Odim. They heard the Shema first. How can it be that they didn't know how to pronounce it? I don't know. There's something missing over here. So the Mishnah is listing off several differences between Mikdash and Medina. Duchening in Mikdash is a special Kima Mitzvah because the Pasuk says, Ma'ikra Tess, at the conclusion of Havkrabas Karbonas Tzibur, that's the Ikra's man when you duchen. That's a Shaila. How do we duchen Mizman Azeh? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Sefer on Shulchan Aruch and Morak Tzio, Sefer on Aruch Chaim on the tour, where he writes that duchening Mizman Azeh is only by the Rabban, and even duchening Mizman Shabbos Mikdash Haikaim, if you duchening Chutz Beis Hamikdash is only by the Rabban, because the Gemara says Beferish. And Amid Aleph, it sounds as if the Gemara rejected it, but you get to Amid Beis, the Gemara still sticks to it. That you only duchen at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonas Tzibur. So it's a dead giveaway, it's only a Beis Hamikdash. Chutz le Beis Hamikdash, duchening is only Midi Rabbanan. I don't know, it doesn't. It sounds like in conjunction with the Hakrobas Hatta.
Why do you make a bracha? Why would you be able to make a bracha?
No, duchening is midi rabbanon. You also say a bracha. When you bench chanukalicht, it's midi rabbanon. The Gemara says we do say a bracha. When you read Mikkah Megillah, you do say a bracha. But the Einfall, he says that duchening chutz lebeis hamikdash, by definition, has to be midi rabbanon, because the Gemara said beferish on lamet ches and beis. Duchening has to be in connection at the conclusion of hakrovas karbonas tzimah. So the Mishnah Berurah has a whole attack against this, and he varps arrive from a Gemara Chulin, arrive from a Sifra, arrive from here, arrive from there, that he's wrong. The Rabbi Yankov Hemden is wrong. The Duchening is the Reis, even Mizman is it. He's wrong, but that's the Pele. He's wrong, but he's right. But the Gemara says it has to be in connection with Hakrovas Kabbalah Tzibur. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik once developed the whole idea in the Yortzeit Rosh, and it says in Achrayim like that. He said, when you say Shemana Esrei, so we say Shema Kolenu Chus V'Racham Olenu Kaba V'Racham V'Rotzen Estus and Baruch Ata Hashem Shemei Tfilo Baruch Shalom Shein Answer our prayers. The very next bracha you say Ritzei Hashem Lakeh Bam Chisol V'Sfilosim. Listen to our prayers, accept our prayers. You just finished that. You just said Shema Kolenu Shemei Tfilo. What's the showing by the Ritzei Bam Chisol V'Sfilosim? So he said Ritzei. The Balatanya writes Ritzui is an expression that 99% of the time that the word appears in Tanakh, it's in connection with Hakrovas Karbonas. So when you say Shema Kolenu, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should accept the prayers. When you say Ritzei B'Amcha Yisrael Levis Filosam, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu you should accept the prayers as if they had been a korban. So the tefillah is elevated to the level of a korban. So when a yochid davens, so his tefillah sayochid is considered, when he says Ritzei, is considered Al Pidin Deraisa, That's what it would appear. When he says Ritzei, his tefillah is accepted as if he had offered a korban yochid, because his tefillah sayochid becomes a korban yochid. When the chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei, so the chazaras hashas is not stam. One person is saying Shemoneh Esrei a little bit out loud, and everybody chaps around kedusha. No, it's a different tefillah. It's a tefillah satzibur. When everybody davens balachash, that's tefillah sayochid, tefillah bitzibur. When the chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei, that's one tefillah on behalf of the whole tzibur. So that's a tefillah satzibur. And then when the chazan says Ritzei, the tefillah satzibur is converted al pidin derais into a korban tzibur. So after the chazan finishes the korban tzibur, after Ritzei, and the tefillah satzibur is accepted as if it were a korban tzibur, that's when you have the chiyuv to duchen. That's why duchening is derais. Duchening is taki at the conclusion of hakrovas karbonas tzibur, but the reciting of the bracha Ritzei is considered menatera, as if you converted the tefillah satzibur into a korban tzibur. So that's where the Gemara has a din. The Gemara says you can only duchen. It's about 13 lines from the top on Lamed Ches on the base. The line begins with the two words salak lefrokim. So the Gemara says v'omer abishob and levi by the tiny letter dalet kol koin sheino oila bavoido shuv eino oila. The bracha Ritzei till Amachzeh Shechinos HaLitzion is considered the bracha of Avoida. Every bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei is given a title. First bracha is called Ovis, second bracha is called Gvuris, the third bracha is called Kedushas Hashem, and so on. So the bracha Ritzei is called Avoida. Hashavis Avoida, the Dribisach, Avoida means Hakrovas HaKarbonos. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh, and he should bring back the Hakrovas HaKarbonos. So the Gemara says it then, the Kohanim have to start walking towards the platform. They don't have to reach the platform, they have to at least start walking. Kokan Sheina Oila Bavoida, before the chazan finishes Hamachzeh Shechinos HaLitzion, the Kohanim will have to start walking. A Kohen who didn't start walking before the chazan finishes Hamachzeh Shechinos HaLitzion, Shuv Ein Oila. We wouldn't let him duchen. Why not? Because the Bracha Ritzei is what in, that's what the Rav Soloveitchik explained. That's how the Keren Ur explains it. Keren Ur quotes his brother, the Mishkan Es Yankev. It's all a whole big hezmer. So they say that he writes over there, the Mishkan Es Yankev writes, there is a famous machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether the obligation to daven every day is derais or derabban. So the Rambam's opinion is, Rambam has a chiddush, there's an obligation in our Torah to daven at least once a day, every day. I think Mar says davening is only with the Rabbanon, Zok the Rambam davening three times a day, in a particular nusach hatfila, that's when the Rabbanon. But the minimum, the bare minimum that you have to daven once a day, every day, that's when Atar. Ramban disagrees, and he thinks that in Gansan, the whole davening is only with the Rabbanon, unless based sorrow. When there's some catastrophe, when the world is holding by collapsing, today, okay. When the goyim are ready to attack all the Jews, they want to bomb Eretz Yisrael, they want to kill all the Jews, Muslims want to kill all the Jews all over the world. So we're based sorrow. So whenever there's a major eis sorrow, then the Ramban holds that the tefillah is deraisa. But otherwise, if you live in a peaceful era, the obligation to daven is only with the Ramban. And the Mishkan Es Yankev says, even according to the Ramban, he's right, the obligation to daven is only with the Ramban mitam hilchas tefillah. But if you want to duchen, hot finish can brera. So chazar es hasha, tefillah betzibur but chazar es hashatz is deraisa, in order to enable you to duchen. Because you can only duchen at the conclusion of hakrovas karbonas tzibur, where you're going to get a korban tzibur. If you want to mekayim the mitzvah of duchening, so you have to have the chazan recite Shemoneh Esrei out loud at tefillah satzibur, and then say Ritzei to convert the tefillah satzibur into a korban tzibur to enable you to duchen, to enable everybody to duchen. So that's what the Mishkan Es Yankev writes achidush. So the Keren Oira was written by the younger brother of the Mishkan Es Yankev. Mishkan Es Yankev was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and he was the Rav in Karlin. He had to do with the Stolen HaChassidim, the Karlin HaChassidim. So he was from the big Misnagdim. He had learned in Volozhin. He was a big Misnagdim. So he has several tshuvas in the Sefer where he disagrees with many of the practices of the Hasidim. He's the one who has the tshuva about the green esrig, that the Hasidim are always makbid to die, get dafke green esrig. So he says it's puzzle. Green esrig is puzzle. And there is no such Zohar. The Zohar talks about esrig ha-yorok. Yorok means brown. He said it doesn't mean green. Then he talks about that they don't wear tefillin ha-chalamoid. He said it's not always gehalt al-pi kabbalah. It's wrong. Al-pi kabbalah, it's wrong. Al-pi nigla, it's wrong. Al-pi nista, it's wrong. It has several tshuvas. where he disagrees with the Hasidim specifically, because he was the Rav in Karlin. So he used to, his younger brother wrote to Keren Ora. Keren, the Mishkan is Ankev is Chuvas and Dalet Chalke Shulchan Aruch. Goyim did not wear tefillin, right? Usually in all of his Chuvas he quotes the Goyim, except for this one. This one he leaves out. He always relies heavily on the Goyim. This one he leaves out because he's so into fighting with the Hasidim. So he has to hide the fact that the Vilna Goyim also had the practice of not wearing tefillin. So he thinks it's not correct. Alpi Nigla v'Alpi Nista. He holds that it's not correct. So his younger brother, when he passed away, so his younger brother with whom he learned for a couple of years, the Keren Ora. Keren Ora is Svarim on Kochim, and Zvachim and Menachas and Me'ila and Nedarim Noza Soita, because it has a little Kochim here, mainly Svarim on Kochim. So he, every so often, the Keren Ora will quote his older brother, the Mishkan Hazaken. So here on this Gemara, he makes a big fuss about this. His brother explained that the Chazaras HaShatz is what enables you to duchen Doraisa Bizman Hazeh. Yeah?
What kind of Mishnah has to call on Agador B'Shad Duchen?
What kind of?
What kind of Mishnah has had call on Agador B'Shad Duchen?
What kind of mission?
What is Tafkit, you know? What do you...
To give my bracha? Because bracha is B'nai Yisrael. He's supposed to give a bracha to the Tzibur? Yeah. He doesn't. The Kohanim don't have any koyach to give. Says the Samech Shemayim Neisa Baniya Baruchim. If they say the Pesukim, the Rebbeinu Shlom is Maftich, he'll give the brach. Kohanim don't have in that power to give it. Basically, I don't know. Why don't you have right after it say? I don't know.
Why don't you have it after the Zarsa Shatz? It would seem to be the
Why do you have it in the middle? Why do you have it? I don't know. Why would the Chachamim Misak and Davka in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz and to skip? But you want to have it right after it say? I don't know. But they say that's what it would appear from the Gemara. Because the Gemara says you have to, the Kohen has to be Oikar Agla Bavoda. He has to start going towards the Duchen. He doesn't have to arrive at the Duchen. The Gemara says Rabbami Rabasi only walked up to the Duchen when it was time to recite Yevrechecho Hashem Yishmerecho. The Gemara says that as long as when the Chazan is in the middle of it, say, they start to walk a little bit, they don't have to walk all the way. They have to start going a little bit. And that's why our minig is, Rab Shlomo Levilna writes this in his Sefer, that's why our minig is when the Kohanim Duchen, so we recite a piyut, our tefillah should be accepted in front of you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if we had offered karbanos. Basically, that's what it means. That's what Ritzi means. So we emphasize, we say it again in easier Hebrew. Our prayer should be pleasantly accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if we had offered a karban, and that's what enables us to duchen. Because the tefillas hatzibur of the Chazaras HaShatz now converted into an oil of a carbon. So after hakrovas carbon tzibur, then you can duchen. So we're just spelling out in the piyut of b'ser v'alach haser haseinu. We're spelling out the theme that appears already in Ritzei. That's what enables us to duchen. We should have every day. Mikra din the chiyuv to duchen is only when we call upon the kohen. If we don't ask him for a bracha, so they don't have to duchen. So we have the Ashkenazim have developed a minik chutz loretz that you only duchen when you're in a good mood. So in chutz loretz, everybody's fayokt, everybody's running to the office to work to make a living. So they keep on cutting off the davening shorter. Vos gicher, you have to finish. So people are not, the Kohanim are not in the mood to duchen. The Tzibur is not in a happy mood to listen to the duchen. Even on Shabbos, people are worried about making a parnasa next week. Some on Yontif, they're more relaxed. So our minig is that we don't call upon the Kohanim to duchen all week long, only on Yontif. But if you would call upon the Kohanim to duchen in any given day, there would be mechuyev to duchen. That would be a din d'oraisa. At the conclusion of Tfilas, of Chazaras HaShatz, whenever you call upon the Kohanim to duchen, they're mechuyev to duchen. How do you know that it's only if you call upon them to duchen? The Gemara is going to talk about who calls. So the pasuk says, "Oh, Pasuk says it at the beginning of Bahaloisra, right? Not in Parshas Nasa. In the beginning of Parshas Bahaloisra, I forgot already, where's the Duchening? In Noso. Kozmochov. It is in Noso. How do you translate Dabel Aharon Bonavlame Kosavochas Bnei Yisrael? The Kohanim should give a bracha Amor Lahem. How do you translate Amor Lahem? The Kohanim should say to the Tzibur Amor Lahem. That's what the Gemara says on Lamed Zayin Amed Beis. If a Kohen doesn't duchen, if they called upon the Kohen to duchen and he doesn't go up to duchen, he's mevatel. He's over on three mitzvahs esse. Kosavochu is Bnei Yisrael. Amor Lahem. And with so much Shmi al Bnei Yisrael, they should give the bracha to Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, however you interpret that, whether it just means lechizakinya for emphasis, or it really means three mitzvahs esse, so the poshup shat, the pshut shel mikra, amor lahem, the kohanim should recite the bracha. Kosavarchu, amor lahem, v'samashmi. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on the phrase amor lahem, that's in addition to the pshut shel mikra. Ein mikra es midei pshuto. So pshut shel mikra, amor lahem, the kohanim should say to the tzibur, Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha. And the additional level of interpretation is like this. Kosavach has been a Yisrael. When the chazan requests of the Kohanim, Omar Lahem, Katemer Lahon. That's how the Targum Onkelos translates. Katemer Lahon, when we will ask, when we will request of the Kohanim, that they should duchen, then the Mechuyev to duchen. That's, this Targum Onkelos doesn't say like that, but in many editions, that's how it says. Katemer Lahon. So others say that that's a mistake. It shouldn't say that in the Targum Onkelos. It shouldn't say that. Why? Because the Targum Onkelos is only supposed to give Pshuto Shel Mikra. He's not supposed to give additional levels of interpretation. And the Pshuto Shel Mikra is beferish. The Gemara says, Amar lehem the Kohanim zol nzogin to the Tzibur. Yerech Hashem Yishmerech. This is already a Torah Shebal Peh interpretation. And Onkelos is not supposed to incorporate Torah Shebal Peh. So others... What? Okay, so it's a problem in a few places. So sometimes we assume that what the Targum Onkelos said is considered Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Rambam has in his Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, he writes a whole theme about the Torah Shebal Peh. So he says there are different parts of the Torah Shebal Peh. So he says one part is what he calls Pirushim HaMekubalim LaMoshe MiSinai. Like it says, Ayin Tachasayin. So the Targum says he paid mammon over there. Because the Rambam says that's considered Pshuto Shel Mikra. You don't understand the Pshuto Shel Mikra and the Pasuk that you poke out his eye. And the Torah Shebal Peh supersedes the Torah Shebichsav. That's considered Pshuto Shel Mikra. Ayin Tachasai means mammon. And the Rambam says Pri Eitz Hodor means Esrog. Not that Menatoria can take whatever you want and the Torah Shebal Peh says otherwise. No, the Torah Shebal Peh says that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. Or it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, they were complaining about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki Yishu Kushis Lokach. So what does it mean? He married a Shvarza. He married a Kushis. So the Targum Onkelos says, Ki Yishu Kushis Lokach Giresh. They were complaining why he divorced his wife. Not that he married a Shvarza. Well, what's wrong? Ki Yishu Kushis Lokach V'Girsho. That doesn't say in the Pasuk, but the Targum Onkelos understood that that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. So every so often there is a Targum Onkelos, where the Onkelos understood that that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. So some Achrayim have tainus. Why does it say Kat Temer Lahon? So they take out the word Kat. Others say it was a mistake in the first place. Not that Onkelos put it in. This is in Bamidbar chapter Vav. And right after Kosroch HaZmanis, Vani Avorchein starts chapter Zayin. This is the Christian chapters and verses. So this is the end of chapter Vav. That Pasuk is Pasuk Chav Gimel. Daber Alam Rebbeinu Lehem Kosroch HaZmanis Alam Alam Pasuk Chav Gimel. The next Pasuk is Chav Dalet. So it said Chav Dalet in little letters. And then, by mistake, the printer thought that that two letters, he thought that was a word. And by mistake, he put Kat Temer Lahon. That's what Rab Zalman Lev Alojina says. Rab Chaim Alojina had a brother who was supposed to be a super genius. Rab Zalman Lev Alojina was supposed to be a super genius. So I have a little sefer that has the biography of Rab Zalman Lev Alojina, and Vertalach, that the different biurim and Rambams and Psukim that he gave. It's called Tolda Sodom. So the Pischei Tshuva and Shulchan Aruch every so often quotes from this biography, Tolda Sodom, Vertalach from Rab Zalman Lev Alojana. So this is one of his things. He thinks that Unkelis never wrote that, and the word Kad, it was a Toish and Ishtarbe from the Chof Dalet. It says in the little letters, Chof Dalet. So they thought Kad Temer Lahom. The printer thought it belonged on the previous line. Yeah. But the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets that like that. Amor lehem, the pshuta shal mikor amor lehem means the Kadim Zon Zogman the Bracha, they should give the Bracha to Bnei Yisrael. And the Torah Shabbat Peh gives an additional level of interpretation in addition to the pshuta. Amor lehem means when the tzibur requests of the Kadim that we want a Bracha, then the Mechuv to say the Bracha. So the minig by the Ashkenaz and Mechutz Lartz is that we're so fayokt all year long, even Shabbos only on Yontif were come. We're relaxed all year long. We're not in the mood to give a bracha, and not in the mood to receive a bracha. So we don't request of the Kohanim that they should give a bracha. So the Kohanim are not mevatel their mitzvah. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, what if some chazan starts saying Kohanim in the middle of it? He screams out Kohanim. So Bayasa wouldn't help because Kol Kohen Shel Olah L'Duchen, it doesn't help. But let's say the Gabbai in the shul before the chazan finishes. The Gabbai says to the Kohanim, I want you to go duchen. Someone tells the Kohanim, we want you to go duchen. Then they're stuck. Then they have to duchen. That's a din deraisa. The mechuyif. Huh?
Anybody can tell the Kohanim?
Someone from the tzibur who wants a bracha. Yeah. Our minig is, we don't request of the Kohanim that they should duchen. But if someone will request, then the mechuyif to go duchen. That's a chiyuv min atar. The mechuyif to duchen. So again, so the Mishnah lists off these several shinuyim between duchening and migdush and duchening bigvum. The ikad duchening is a migdush at the conclusion of hakrabas kabbanas tibur. The Gemara learns it after that pasuk. That's in Parashas Tzav. In chutzla migdush, we assume like the Mishnah Berurah, duchening is also menat Torah, because we assume that the ritzei is the bracha that converts the tefillos hatzibur into a korban tzibur. So then at the conclusion of hakrobos korban tzibur, there's takachiv to duchen if you request of the Kohanim. So the one difference was, b'migdash it's all treated as one unit of a bracha, and b'medina is three units. And b'migdash they pronounce the shem amfarish kichsov yudke vavke, those who knew how to pronounce it, they should try to be malimit. They should try to be malimit. It says, the echa b'kohanim, other Kohanim would sing a nigin, while the Kohanim who knew the Shem Amforish would pronounce it kichsavoy, so the others would try to drown them out with a nigin. That's what some say, our minig is that in the middle of duchening, they always sing a nigin. Where does it come from, singing a nigin? It's a carryover from the days of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that in order that the public was not roy to know the correct pronunciation, and the Shem HaFarish shouldn't hear it, so they used to sing a niggin to drown out the Kohen. So even though we don't say the Shem HaFarish today, so we carry it over the minik to sing a niggin in the middle.
Time to say the Rabbanu
Shalaylo. The Gemara in Brachas, in the end of Brachas, says that if a person had a dream and he's nervous about the dream, so when the Kohen would go up to Duchen, he should say that tefillah. And the Gemara has practically word for word the whole Nusach HaTefillah that we have. But the Gemara doesn't say exactly when you say. So our practice is that we say it in between Yivrach Hashem and V'yishmerecha. V'yishem parvelecha, V'yichonecha. In between, next to the last word and the last word. The Mishnah Brura is not happy about that. He tainis that there is a din in the Gemara of Shor Kedei Ligmas Kula. The Gemara has by Tkiya Shofar and by Davening, by Mikra Megillah, whenever there's a mitzvah that has to do with Amira, but Tkiya Shofar is also a form of tefillah. So the Gemara says if you're going to do half of the tekiyas now, then you're going to wait a few hours, you're going to blow the rest of the tekiyas later. So that's not right. That's an issue of shoha kedei ligmas kula, that it's mevatel the tziruf between the beginning and the end. The guy's going to bench, the guy's going to say kriya shema, he's going to pause in the middle for 25 minutes. Right, so the Gemara has a machlokes, lechatchila, everybody agrees you should not be shoya. What would the din be b'di'evit if you were shoya? Yeah. So we passed him b'di'evit, you are yoytze. Shama teshet tkiyas v'teshet shoyas v'yom. He paused an hour in between the tkiya, and in between the shvarim, and in between the tkiya. An hour, an hour, an hour, every time an hour. So we passed him b'di'evit, you are yoytze. other Tanoim and Amoraim hold even b'di'evad you're not yotzei b'shor k'day li'ikum eskul. But l'chatchila for sure it's not right. L'chatchila you're not allowed. So that's where Rav Henkin used the tumul about that. He has in the, they reprint it every year in the Ezra's Torah Luach. They have a carryover from Rav Henkin's dikdukim. So he thought the Mishnah Berurah has this. Mishnah Berurah writes this. That it's not really right that we offer this tefillah, this Rabbanu Shel Olam, in between the words of the pasuk. This lachalchatchila, you're in violation of shok delig maskula. So he writes, the Mishnah Berurah recommends, if there's no clear cut meaning in the makom. What do you mean there's no clear cut meaning? It's all over the world, it's clear cut. It means if you can get away with it and they won't kill you, that's what it means. If you can get away with this practice and the balabat won't kill you, you should change the incorrect meaning. You should let the Kohen finish v'yishmerecha and then say your tefillos. Let them finish saying the whole pasuk v'yichunecha and then say the whole tefillos. You really shouldn't say it in the middle of the pasuk. That's how the Mishnah Berurah writes. Yeah. I don't really understand what he gained by that. If you shok derig maskula should be a problem. All the three psukim. You should say you should wait till after they finish Yosn L'chol Shalom. What does it help if you're going to wait till the end of the one pasuk, but you shouldn't be sure l'chatchila between the first pasuk and the second pasuk? You have to say all the three pasuks. I really don't understand what the Mishnah Berurah thinks that he accomplished. But that's where Rav Henkin and his luach, every year he used to print this Mishnah Berurah. He used to try to popularize this Mishnah Berurah. That if you can get away with it, you should try. Some of the boys in the yeshiva took positions in Rabbanis and little villages where the people were not familiar with any dinim and mahag or anything, so they changed the minig there. That whatever you tell about them, they'll be happy to listen. So they told him, he's supposed to say, it doesn't, not probably in Yad Scroll, probably says everything, Baruch Bitcha Ktana, but before the Yad Scroll was printed. So it doesn't say when you're supposed to say this, or Rabbanu Shel Olam. So they told the Balabatim, they're supposed to say it after V'yichonecha. Sure. So they were masking. If it, that's the Mishnah Berurah. If you can get away with it, you should change the minig. He thinks that it's not proper.
Did you say Rabbanu Shel Olam just once? Why did you repeat it? I mean, because of a bad dream. So you said it once and that's it. Not dreaming to be the person
who's yeah, yeah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the practice of the Vilna Goy, and you see, we have an RC door and we have printed the tefillah for the halayim is the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you say twice after the end of the first pasuk, the end of the second pasuk, and then the end of the third pasuk, you have a whole long tefillah. So this whole long tefillah is obviously not from the Gemara. This is all very Kabbalistic. This is from Chassidish Svarim. So the Vilna Gaon was an anti Chassidism. So the Vilna Gaon wouldn't be caught dead saying the third tefillah. So the Vilna Gaon had the old practice. They say all three times the Rabbanu Shel Olam at the end of the first pasuk when the Kohen is going to say Yirecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, so you end off as Hishmereini. The second time when the Kohen is going to finish off v'yichunecha, then you end off Busuchaneini. The third time they're going to say v'yasem l'chol shalom, then you say v'yisirtzeini. If the third time you're going to say the Yehiratzen with the Chassidish Kabbalah in it, then you're not going to say three times the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So then they change the whole nusach and they say two times v'sishmereini v'schaneini v'sirtzeini. That's the way it's printed in the siddur. But the Vilna Gaon practiced the old meaning that he said three times the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The first time at the end of the first pasuk he only said v'sishmereini. The second time he only said v'sichaneini. And the third time he only said v'sirtzeini. It means you say the tefillah in accordance with that pasuk that the Kohanim are saying. The first time he said you conclude with Sishmereini. The second time he concluded with Sochaneini, that it should correspond with the
whether or
with
not
the pasuk.
Had a bad dream came so accepted, or only if you had a bad dream.
Our practice is we only duchen on Yontif.
I know, so I'm saying so.
So we assume that from last Yontif to this Yontif, I probably had a bad dream. From the first day Yontif to the second day Yontif, so Taka says you only say the tefillah if you had a bad dream last night. You don't have a. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is 8 days in between. Right. Yom Kippur to Sukkot is a couple of days in between. But from the first day Yontif to the second day Yontif is only one night. So if you didn't have a bad dream, Taki, you don't say. You already took care of all the dreams.
I think also, for that also, that when we say Adiba Maran, Shalom B'Gur, actually, we say it at the end. But I think we bring down that if you, 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 if you going on long, so like you finish the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you have time, you say Adibur Maron at that point, not at the end of the Shem. I'm not afraid to think about it.
Yeah. Probably don't have to say this tefillah. Probably don't have to say. The Rambam in the Mor and the Vuchim writes about the Shem Mem Beis Oisiyas and the Shem Ayin Beis Oisiyas. How can it be a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with 72 letters? How do you pronounce a word with 72 letters? How do you pronounce a word with 42 letters? Shem Mem Beis Oisiyas. So the Rambam writes, the Shem Amfarish is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Shem Ayin Beis Oisiyas and Mem Beis Oisiyas was a description of a Lakus that was a whole paragraph, a whole sentence. And the whole sentence, adding up all the words together, had one of them had 42 letters. It was a long sentence. One of them was a longer sentence that had 72 letters. He says that that's not the higher level of a Shem. That's kinuyim. That's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rashi writes not so. Rashi on Sanhedrin, another place, Rashi writes if the Shem Ayin Beis Oisiyas is a higher level of the Shem Amfarish than the regular Yud Kei Vav. So we don't know what it means. We don't know what it is. We assume like the Rambam. The Rambam is the famous sheet. The Shem Amfarish is Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Rabbi, with respect to Rosh Shalom, it goes Mikal Abot, goes to the Asim Bavos. So even though a person didn't have it, it says, Shei Yi Kol Kol Mosai Laiv El Kol Yisrael Betovo.
I mean, the Chalom is there, he says, Chalom Chalom Tvein Adi Amau.
So it's a Pakash Tashem that all the Chalom that a person should have should be Betovo.
But it's all in the past. Ben Shal Chalamti.
I
don't think it's that. Ben Shal Chalamti Alat, Ben Shal Chalamti Alchem, Ben Shal Chalam Achem Alay. It's all in past tense. All the Chalamis that I had in the past should turn out L'Toiva. Yeah. It should all be L'Toiva. I don't think so. Pashta says it goes on the past. Yeah. So Nachamal said, what are the three differences? The third difference is, in Migdosh, it's one bracha. Second difference is, Shem Amfarish. And the third difference is, the top line, Bamedina Kohanim Nos Misidem Keneged Kisvehem. What does that mean? They're supposed to raise their hands. You have to have Nesias Kapayim. So sometimes you see Kohanim hold their hands like this. So the Mishnah seems to say that it's not correct. Some hold it's even Makeh B'Dieved. They have to hold their hands connected their shoulders. Why? So Rashi says, "Bimfnei shetzarch nesias kapayim," and nesias kapayim means so high. Yeah. Let's see. Connected kesem uba migdosh al gabi rasheihim. They would pick the hands up higher. What's the difference between migdosh and chutz la migdosh? So Rashi explains based on a different gemara. Lemaylam Hashem tein shemvach mesam Hashem amfarish because in the base of migdosh. They pronounce the Shem Amfarish, and the Shechina would be Lamaila, Mikishrei, Etzboiseim. The Shechina would be some visible light, some heavenly light that would be visible above their knuckles. If they're going to have Kenegit Kisveim, they'll be looking at the Shechina, so they're obligated to raise their hands higher. So that means, Bamedina, they're permitted to have Kenegit Kisveim. If they want to have higher Gezuntei, but it's not required. In Amigdash, it's required that they should hold their hands higher because the Shechina is Lamayla Mikishri Etzbeisei. So this is in the Beis Amigdash. All the Kohanim hold their hands Al Gabi Rashem, except for the Kohen Gadol, Zemachloikis Satanoim. Chutz Mikohen Gadol Sheinim Magbias Yodav Lamayla Minat Tzitz. Why not? Because the Tzitz has inscribed on it, Kodesh Lashem. So that's not right. Rashi explained, that's not right that he should hold his hands above the Tzitz. It's something missing over here. What's this?
Because it has a Shem thing, so let's say Tfil has been had more of the Shem thing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't raise it above the Tfil.
So that apparently was not a problem. All the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash wore Tfil.
Yeah, so they
all wore Tfil. The Gemara said they didn't wear Tfil Shal Yad, because that's a Chatzitza between the big Dikun and Tfil Shal Rosh. The Gemara says they did wear. Yes, apparently the Shem HaShem and the Tfilin is Mechupen, it's covered over. But the Tzitz, the Shem HaShem is Megule, so it's Mochomer. So it's not covered HaShem to lift your hands above the Tzitz. That's what the Tanakam holds. If you disagree, he says, Vos Shlecht, Avkan Gorol Osmak B'Yorol Malam Minat Tzitz. What's wrong? The original Pasuk about Nesias Kapayim says by the Kan Gorol, by Aaron HaKon, Yis HaNes Yorol Alom. That's how you know that you need Nesias Kapayim. See, the Gemara is going to discuss the details of these halachas of Nesias Kapayim. So what's it doing in this perek? What's it doing in this mesichta? Because the perek begins in an amarim. Some mitzvahs of Amira can be fulfilled in translation, others not. So the opening Mishnah says the duchening has to be dafke in the original Hebrew. So that's what the Gemara says. Tana Rabbanu Kosvachu Veloshna Kodesh. You know, only Yotze duchening in the original Hebrew. Ataima Veloshna Kodesh Ayin Ela Becholosh. And maybe it's good in translation also. Nemekan Kosvachu Venemel Halen Eliyam de Lebrochasom. By Brochas Eklolas. It also has the verb levarich. It says kosevorch malahalim beloshna kodesh avkam beloshna kodesh. If you go in main tzarch, what do you need a gzereshava for? It says ko harema ko. Ko means ikuva. You have to say exact kosevorch as many so. It's marked. You have to say davka like this. The Mishnah already had it. I don't know. The Mishnah already has it in the beginning of the perek. Birchas Kohanim.
This Mishnah should have had it also.
Just repeating. This Mishnah is just repeating details, but the original Mishnah Lamed Beis Aman Aleph already says the Birchas Kohanim has to be dafke beloshen Hakodesh. That's what we mentioned. There's a problem. There's a nun garishir havare, and there's a yekdish havare, and there's a poilush havare. And teimanim have a different havare. Havara asfardit, havara ashkenazi. So many different havaras. So whoever is saying in the wrong havara is in translation. So how can you say bracha on the duchening? Maybe his havara is not loshna kodesh. So we never heard that poses a problem. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Zetna fundan from the common practice. They all say the bracha shekedushani b'kedushas u'shalaren. It's one of the brachas amisol b'hav. They all say the bracha, and they all say each one pronounces the duchening in their own pronunciation. So we assume that all the pronunciations that are accepted by large groups of Jews are all considered Lashon HaKodesh. This was Rab Moshe Soloveitchik. Rab Soloveitchik's father had a practice that after davening Shacharis and after Maariv, he would always recite Kriya Shema a few more times. In the Birchas Kriya Shema, he said it the way he pronounced his Litvish Hebrew. And then after the davening, he would say Kriya Shema a few more times in different Havoras. Because Lachatrila, more correct is to say Kriya Shema in the original Hebrew. If you say in translation, they were also Yotze. So he wanted to say in different Avaris that it should be in the original Hebrew. And Rav Soloveitchik, that we knew, did not have that practice. So this was his disagreement with his father. He said, what do you mean? When they duchen, they all say a bracha. And duchen can't be in translation. So you see that all the Avaris are accepted, and they're all considered the original Hebrew. All the Avaris are considered legitimate. Doesn't mean, let's say, if you have a Balkoire, a Teimani wants to be the Balkoire, a Yekka wants to be the Balkoire, he's going to have a totally different Havara from the Shul. So Moshe Feinstein writes that that's not proper. He shouldn't be Mishanef in the Minig HaMokam. A little bit Havara Ashkenaz is Havara Sfardid that everybody's used to already. But a guy's going to come with a Teimani pronunciation and Gansen out of this world, something that the people, even the Sfardim, are not used to, even those who speak Havara Sfardid are not used to. Moshe says that is a problem of Shiloh of the Shanis, Mimini Gamokam. That does pose a problem.
You shouldn't have a Taimani Koyin Duchen? Is that what you say?
Taimani Koyin is Mukhuyev to Duchen. He has to Duchen. I don't know. No. To Daven for Anom, but he shouldn't Daven for Anom. What do you do if he has your side? I don't know. If he has a Chiyev, I don't know. Should Daven in the Taimani mean? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's what he's asking. What about Birchas Kohanim? I don't know. He's mechuyev to do. He got no choice. Also, Rav Soloveitchik thought that you gain nothing by saying it over. And some yeshivas in Eretz, they have the practice. They lay over Parsha Zachar a few times in different havaras. Like Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had the practice of repeating Kriya Shema several times. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that you gain nothing. That all the havaras are called Loshna Kodesh. Everything is acceptable. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, how do you know that the Kohanim have to stand when they recite the Duchen? Tanya Yidach, there's another brisa. The Kohanim have to stand. Maybe the Kohanim can sit. Bracha, bracha, gzera shava. It's not the exact same form of the word, But it's the same verb, Kosev Baruch Hu, there it says, Livarech Esom. So you have Gzera Shav, Malahan Bamid, Afkam Amid, by Brachas, the Klaus, the Hagriz, Marevo, says, Beferish, Eli Yamdu, Livarech Esom, says that they were standing. So here also you need Amida. I'm not Naimer, I don't need Gzera Shav. Gzera Shav has to be, Ain't on them dung Gzera Shav, Miatzman can keep Lamirabu, you have to have a Masur. I don't need a Masur. I can figure it out on my own that the Khanim have to stand. So he has a whole Yalfusa. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated the Kohanim, he singled out the Kohanim that they have two jobs. L'shorso, shorso means to be Mishoris and Beis HaMikdash, to be Makom Kavanos, ulevarech bishmo, and Teduchin. So since they mention one next to the other in the same pasuk, that's like a Hekish. Hekish Adam Don Hekish Me'atzmek. Zerushav, you have to have a tradition for. So Broche, Broche is a Zerushav. He says you got to have a masur, but for a hekish I don't need a masur. I can figure out on my own. I'm done hekish miatzma. The shosah the baruch bishma is a hekish. Ma mishar is bamida, just like when the kohen does hakrovus hakrabonus, he has to do bamida. And the Mishnah says in the second parak in Zvachim, if a kohen does avoda, you're not allowed to sit in the azor. That's an aver. Ain yeshiva bazora elal malchah bezdavid b'vatzi. He did an aver, but just because he did an aver, doesn't necessarily imply that the karbon is apostle. It could be ain yeshiva bazor is only the rabbanon. That's a Dion and Rashi. One place, that's a Stira and Rashi. One place Rashi writes that whole halacha ain yeshiva bazara ela lemalchah bizdavu bevad is only a din de rabbanon, because there is no pasuk in Chumash. The other Rashi writes that it's halacha lemoshe misina. So even if a kohen sits in the Beis Hamikdash and he violated aver, it doesn't necessarily follow that the hakrovas hakorban is going to be pasul. So the Mishnah Zvachim says no, it is pasul, and you learn it out from a pasuk. Ki bom bochar Hashem lamad lusharis. The Gemara quotes it later. Lamad lusharis hakodesh bochar lamida becharitim velo liyeshiva. If the kohen doesn't stand, is a ois kohen. He has to do the avodas hakorbanos in the standing position. So I know from the Mishnah Zvachim and I know from the pasuk. You need amida for hakrovas hakarbanis, and there's a hekesh between the shorso the baruch bishma, hekesh between duchening and hakrovas hakarbanis. So just like amida is likuva by hakrovas karbanis, so to amida is likuva by duchening. That's the lialfusa that the Gemara has. So on the side of the Gemara, they have Rabbi Kevega's murderous kashin. He says, what did they stand on their head over here? They quoted two psukim. One pasuk says makes a hekesh between the shorso of the baruch bishmoi, there's a hekesh between hakrovas hakarbonis on the part of the kohen and the baruch bishmoi duchening. And there's another pasuk that says ki bom bach Hashem lamed l'shores. You have to stand. So just like I know from the other pasuk, you have to stand when you're makro karbonis, and there's a hekesh between the shorso of the baruch bishmoi. So I figured it out. No, it's the same pasuk. It says ki bom bach Hashem l'shores of the baruch lamed. Ki bom bachar Hashem lamed l'sharso l'varach bishmai. It says amida by both, by sharso l'varach bishmai. So what do they need? A hekish and a different pasuk that says lamed. This same pasuk says lamed l'sharso l'varach bishmai. It's in this pasuk. So what did they make? So he quotes the smag taka says like that. Ubismag mitzvah says echav kosav. That the Tana Rab Nosson learns it out, Amida by Duchen and Midrashiv, Lamed Lashor Sa Debarach Bishmai. He says exactly what Rabbi Kevega said, but the Gemara doesn't say that. So he says he doesn't know why the Gemara doesn't say what this Mark says. He doesn't know why the Gemara is, why the Gemara says one pasuk says Lamed Lashor Sa, the other pasuk says Lashor Sa Debarach Bishmai. You have a hekish, and yeah, what do you need a hekish for? The very same pasuk that says Ki Bom Baruch Hashem Lamed Lashor Sa Debarach Bishmai. So now he's in a kasha. Whatever terutzim they give, fancy terutzim, but all the terutzim, the kasha is better than all the terutzim put together. It's a very strong kasha. Anyway, that's the halacha. The kohanim have to stand. Does the tzibur have to stand? The Gemara just says the kohanim have to stand. Ve'zok that the tzibur has to stand. So that's what the rishonim add on. The pasuk says kosvach es bnei Yisrael amor lahem. So the pasuk pshutus hamikra amor lahem. The kohanim should tell the tzibur. There was an additional level of interpretation, kat temer lahon. We should request of the Kohanim, they should duchen. But the pshuto shel mikra, amar lahem, the Kohanim should recite the bracha. So the Tanoim have a drasha, amar lahem, ko'odem ho'im ala chaveiro. The Kohanim should be ponim keneged ponim. Like when I talk to you face to face, we don't talk to each other back to back or back to face. You talk face to face. So the Kohanim should give the bracha, the Nesias Kapayim should be ponim keneged ponim. So the Rishonim say, if you require of the Kohanim that they should stand, so if the Tzibur is going to sit, so that's not going to be ponim keneged ponim. If I'm standing and I'm talking to... It's a taina. It's a taina. But that's the ganze mocker. The Rishonim, it never says in the Gemara that Tzibur has to stand. The Rishonim say we require that Tzibur should stand because otherwise we have to sign a chisaron and ponim keneged ponim. So yes, but they're in a high platform anyway. So how is it ponim keneged ponim? I don't know. Right, we assume that duchening needs a minion. It's a different mocker. It's not because it's a davish b'kedusha. The Mishnah Megillah lists off all the things that require asara. So a whole bunch of them, kaddish kedusha bochur and kriyas haTorah. That's because davish b'kedusha. And then duchening is a separate pasuk, and then benching bezum and basara is a separate reason why. And brichas nisuin needs a minion is a separate reason why. So the simple reading in the Gemara, the Rishonim pointed out, simple reading is that duchening needs a minion is not identical with the din that it's a davish b'kedusha.
So what's the marker that it needs a sorah? Why does it have to
be a sorah? I forgot already. The Gemara there, Megillah, has a drasha from a pasuk. What's the pasuk? B'nei Yisrael. I think from the word B'nei Yisrael, B'nikdash t'b'soch B'nei Yisrael. So just like over there, B'nikdash t'b'soch B'nei Yisrael, need a sorah for davish b'kedusha. So to over here, not that this is davish b'kedusha. No, since it says B'nai Yisrael, because Rachel B'nai Yisrael means the Gans Klal Yisrael, or 10 people represent Klal Yisrael. So you need a minion, you need 10 people. But the Gemara seems to assume that it's not a davish b'kedusha. Duchening is not a davish b'kedusha. That's why davish b'kedusha we require amidah, and here you need a new pasuk that you need amidah. It's not based on that the universal din that a davish b'kedusha needs amidah. Yeah, the pasuk says Eile yamdu levar chasam. Yeah, the Gemara understands it literally. Eile yamdu means to stand. Yeah, there was a kriyas bris. That's how the history books write, but that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yechem and Zaka, that's what they say, because the Ikad Duchening is in Beis HaMikdash at the conclusion of HaKrovus Kabbana Sibur, and by us we want to make it like according to Rabbi Yechem, that it's only the Rabbanan Zechel HaMikdash, or even if it is their Isa, but it has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and Beis HaMikdash you're not allowed to wear shoes in the Azor and Harabais, you're not allowed to be Nichnas LaHarabais B'manualoi. So that's how the history books write. But the Gemara says Rabbi Yechem and Zaka was the chief rabbi for 40 years. The Gemara says first he worked till the age of 40, made $1 million, and he retired. Then he sat down and he learned from the age of 40 to the age of 80. And then he was appointed chief rabbi at the age of 80. So he was chief rabbi. He lived till the age of 120, the Gemara says. So he was chief rabbi for 40 years. So during his presidency as chief rabbi, he and his bez made 9 takonas. And one of the 9 takonas was the Kohanim have to take off their shoes when they duchen. The Gemara gives a whole different reason why. Nothing to do with Zechel HaMikdash. The Gemara says, if the Kohanim will be permitted to go with their shoes, with their shoelaces, so what will be? The Kohen is on his way to go to Duchen, and there is a wolf in the shoelace unties, and he's going to trip on his own shoelaces, so he's going to bend over to start tying the knot. The violet, while he's tying the knot, they're already going to, the Chazan doesn't wait for you forever. On the weekdays, Chazan is going to run ahead, and he's going to be on his way to Duchen, he's going to stop in the middle. So the people will think he just realized that he's a cholo. So it'll cause a hitzah shema. It's a funny reason, but that's what the Gemara gives. The Gemara gives that as the reason for the takana. In the history books, they want to outsmart the Gemara. So they think, no, the real reason is Zechel HaMikdash. But it doesn't say that in the Gemara. If you have shoes without laces, says some poskim are mekel. Some poskim are mekel. Or if you have even shoes with laces, but they're sneakers. So the chashash should apply. It's with laces. Right. So other poskim hold by the yekes, they do like that. And broyers, they wear sneakers. They insist it's not covered at sea, but to go in your socks. Everyone should smell your feet. So they insist all the kohanim have to put on sneakers. And a lot of the sneakers have laces on top. So a lot of achrayim say that as long as it's not shoes, that's not a violation of the takon. Takon only was not to go be manolim. Manolim is only leather shoes.
I think it looks good. I slippers or something.
Uh-huh. That's a starter. I think the shul started off by yekis. I think so. So that's how the yekis do. I remember once Rabbi Beryl Wine was once talking for a group of younger rabbonim a couple of years ago in Eretz Yisrael. He was talking, he and Rabbi Emanuel Feldman were talking about different issues that came up while they were rabbis. So Rabbi Beryl Wine said that he was, for a period of time, he was a rabbi in a yekish shul, and the kohanim went up to Duch and they put on sneakers. So he said he gave him over the head. And then later on he realized that that wasn't an issue worth fighting about. There are poskim saying Shulchan Aruch, that's acceptable. So you have to pick your fights. He was trying to educate the younger musmachim. They have to pick their fights. That's what Rav Soloveitchik told this story. When he first came to America, so Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, and the Kohanim refused to duchen. So he says he was young and very fiery. So he says he was cursing and screaming and dancing and amoretz and everything. He says he won the fight and he lost his job. He says he made him duchen on Shabbos and then he was fired. He's no more the rabbi. By Yom Kippur, he was no longer the rabbi. So he told the students at that time, we should see to it that they should duchen on Shabbos, but it's not worth losing our position over this issue. There are other more important issues. Okay, we'll leave that and we'll have to continue. The Gemara is going to go through all the dinim of duchening here, most of the dinim of duchening. The end of Parshas Lech Lecha, we have the mitzvah bris milo. So the pasuk says that Avraham Avinu was commanded to be mal not only his children, his descendants, but to be mal also his avodim, an eved kenani. So it says there are two types of Eved Kenani. There's a Yelid Beiso and a Miknas Kesef. Yelid Beiso means I own the mother as a Shivcha Kenanis, and she gives birth to a baby boy. So the status of the child is always determined by the mother. So if you have a Jewish mother, the child is Jewish. If you have a Goyish mother, the child is a Goy. If the mother is a Shivcha Kenanis, so the child will be an Eved Kenani. So that's called a Yelid Bias. The baby was born as an Eved Kenani from the minute he was born as an Eved Kenani. Let's say when a Jewish baby is born and you perform the Bris Milah. So in Yiddish they have an expression, Megate Yiddish in das Kind. You're going to make the child Jewish. So that's not really accurate. That's a colloquial expression. The child is Jewish even before he performed the Bris Milah. He's Jewish without it also. So Yelid Bais also. The mother was a Shivcha Kenanis when the baby is born. The second he's born, he's an Eved Kenani, has Kedushas Eved Kenani, is Chayim Mitzvahs Ke'isha. And the Mila that he has is Deicha Shabbos. The Rambam says, just like Milas Abein, if the baby is born on Shabbos, Deicha Shabbos. So the Rambam writes, the Milas Eved Kenani, Yilid Bai, is also Deicha Shabbos. It's a din, you need Shmini. You need Mila Bishmini. A Miknas Kesef means, I buy an Eved Kenani from someone else. Let's say a Nochri has a family, and he has too many children, and he wants to sell some of the children to make some money. He's prepared to sell. And the Rambam writes, a Nochri has a right to sell his children. A Nochri owns. By Yidden, we don't own our children. We have Shibudim towards the children. Children have Shibudim towards the parents. Keep it up. The parents have more Shibudim towards the children than the children have towards the parents. The children don't live up to the keep it up. And the parents have to support the children, have to do a bris milah, have to figure out better, have to do chinuch, pay thousands of dollars for chinuch. There are many Shibudim that the parents have to the children. Children only have a little keep it up, which they really fulfill. So the din of Miknas Kesef is I buy a goy, owns his children, so if he wants to, the Rambam says he can sell them. So the Nochri sells me his little baby, that's a Miknas Kesef, so he's a goy. The baby was born a goy. The mother is a Nochri, so the baby is a Nochri. So that's a Mila Shel Mitzvah. So the Mishnah says in Masechus Shabbos, Paragraph Lezer in the Mila, that Mila is a Mila Shel Geiris. There's no din of Shmini over there. You only need Yom HaShmini, Yim Ob Sar HaLosai, and it's only Dechus Shabbos if it's Mila Bizmana. Here there is no Mila Bizmana. A Mila Shel Geiris, you don't need Shmini. Let's say, we have cases now. A Jewish man is living with a non-Jewish woman and she decides she wants to convert. And they just had a little baby. The baby's only 3 days old. So the mother wants to convert and the baby wants to convert. So sometimes the whole thing is a sham. Sometimes the whole thing is a joke. So you're not supposed to convert them. Let's say you have a chitimtzu, that the woman really wants to observe mitzvahs now, going to keep all Shabbos and kashas and taras hamishpacha, and they want to convert the baby also. So most of the poskim say you don't have to wait till the yom hashmini. The baby's only 3 days old. Just like a miknas kesef, a milu shel gerus doesn't have a zmana. There is no milu bezmana. There's a shverer rabbeinu tam. I mean, the Tam writes in the Sefer Yosher that even Milush of Geirus also have to wait till after the eighth day. You can't be Mala baby the Shem Geirus before the eighth day. But Tosfos so the other Balei HaTosfos so disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam. So when Tosfos says in the end of Avodah Zarah, Tosfos has a stira two Gemaras about Maga Nochri Yayin. If a Nochri touches wine, so he makes a treif. So what if it's a Tinik Ben Yoimai? A baby's only 1 day old and he touches the wine. Does he make a treif? So the Gemara has a discussion. What's the din of Tinik Ben Yoimai? So the Rabbein, and it's a stira between another Gemara. So Rabbeinu Tam gives a teretz. Tinik Ben Yoimai, he didn't even have an opportunity to convert. So that's not so bad. You're makel over there. But if the Tinik is ready 8 days old and he could have converted and he didn't, then we hold it against him. And it's Mochomer. He's a real guy. Tinik Ben Yoimai, an honest? There's no way for him to convert. So Tosfos so much doesn't like the Rabbeinu Tam. So Tosfos writes, Rabbeinu Tam gave a teretz, and it's not kedai to write over the teretz. So remember, I was once sitting at a bris next to Rabbi Gifter. It was one of his grandchildren had a bris. My brother-in-law had a bris. So we were talking and learning. So I told the Rabbeinu Tam. So he said, there is no such Rabbeinu Tam. He couldn't believe it. How can it be? Whoever heard of such a thing? So then I showed him the Tosfos. The Tosfos said, Rabbeinu Tam said something's not worth talking. So he says, how do you know what he said? Tosfos doesn't say what. So had a shom, the Rishonim quote of the Rabbeinu Tam said, but they hold that it's not correct. In Achreinim, the Marsha has like that, and the Chassam Sefer, they didn't have the Rabbeinu Tam either, they didn't know the Rabbeinu Tam said. So the Marsha in the end of Perek HaBlezer, the Milo, that the Chassam Sefer and the Tshuva talks about, that even though Yilid Bais is Nima Le'echod, if I buy an Ebed K'naini, if I buy a Nochri and I want to convert him to make an Ebed K'naini, you don't need Shmini, but maybe if it's not an Ebek 90, it's L'Shem Geiris, maybe then you do need Shmini. Very shver of
art. He has to, if it's a Korban Pesach, he has to do it right away. If you want to eat the Korban Pesach, you can't allow the Shabbat to get old.
The Gemara has the Shaila. The Gemara has the Shaila. Let's say a couple just had a baby on Erev Pesach. So they have a little Tinoik. It says, Kol Benechem Malta. How does it go? The parents can't eat Korban Pesach if they weren't Mala babies. So what if the baby was just born on Erev Pesach and they can't be Mal? So the Gemara has a suffix that's called Orlo Shaloi Bismana. The baby is an Oral, but it's not Adayin Lehigir Liyom Hashmini. So the Babli has an Ibai Delev Shita, whether that's called an Oral. And all the Rishonim quote, the Rishonim Paskins, it's not called an Oral. It's not called an Oral till Liyom Hashmini. So the same by the same Shaila would be by an Eved. So if it's a Yilid Bayis, he's not Nimal till Yom HaShmini. Yilid Bayis Nimal HaShmini. So Terch Shmaina is Arlo Shalab Bezman, is not called Arlo. But the Miknas Kesem, the mission says Nimal Echot. You can be Malam the day that he's born. So that's the Pashtus, and most of the Poskim is that Mila of a Miknas Kesem means it's a Mila of a Ger. Mila of a Ger, there is no Din of Shmini. You can do before Shmini, after Shmini. There is no din of Shmini. The Minchas Chinuch quotes some Achrayim want to say, a woman is not mechuyev to see to it that her baby boy has a bris milo. Is a woman mechuyev to see to it that her Ebeknaini has a bris milo? So there's theories in Gemara. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes from the Hafloa that there's room to distinguish between if the woman has a Yelid Bayis or the woman has a Miknas Kesef. If the woman has a Yilid Bayis, that's a mitzvah of Mila. That's like Mila Sabein. So just like the mother is not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Mila Sabein, so a woman who owns an Ebek Naini who is a Yilid Bayis is not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Mila. But if the woman bought a Miknas Kesef, that's not a mitzvah of Mila. The kid is a goy until you do the bris, and the bris is megayer him. So a Mila shel geiris, even women are mechuyev on. Women are on a potter from the Mila, that's a Mila shel mitzvah. But the Mila shel geiris, and Haschinuch was such a svar. I remember Rav Soloveitchik thought that it was a very good svar to distinguish that Nima le'echod is a milush al geiris and women should be mechuyev, and Nima le'shmaina that's a milush al mitzvah, women are not mechuyev. Yeah. been learning in Brachos, and it uses the language Vahaluhu to talk to a Shliach Tzibur whom they remove from being a Shliach Tzibur. Why do they use Vahaluhu?
Probably his Yorid Lefnei HaTeva.
Why do we say Yorid Lefnei HaTeva?
I think in some cities in Europe they have a lower location.
They went down?
They went down. Where is it? I think in Krakow it's lower. I think in Prague and in Maroshon. I think where the Chazan Damas is a lower.
But that wasn't at the time of the Gemara, though.
I think they say that's what it means. Hayorid lifnei ateva. They literally, they used to be yorid. Nehalu means they took them up in the higher level of the shul. No more in the pit.
You said that.
Gotta look in the Farshma Mishnayos. It could be that somebody pointed it out. The big Mishnayos.
Imagine that anybody can ask a Kohen to Duchen. Right? So when the Gabbai announces Kohanim proceed for washing for Duchen, is that a Hasmana?
Yeah, that is the Hasmana, yeah.
So actually, it precedes what the Baal Tefillah says, Kohanim.
Right.
But it's a valid way of considering it.
Yeah. In some shuls, they make such an announcement.
Yeah, many shuls. Yeah, sure. Kohanim, please go to wash for
the Leviim.
No, they say Kohanim and Leviim, but they mention Kohanim, please proceed to wash for Duchen. Yeah.
I never noticed it.
First time I heard.
I just want to inform that if somebody took a lulav on Shabbos, because apparently
Avama on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, not the side of the Vichacha. Yeah, the Vichacha.
I didn't see it in Hilchos
Lulav. What if you go koyt and Chavi don't say Shachyano on the second day, unless the first day was Shabbos? So what if on the first day was Shabbos and he did go shor on the first day? Does he still say Shachyano on the second day? Did he have a kiyum yesterday, or was it zilch?
So he crossed that discussion.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I remember.
I would call him.
Who, Rabbi Tendler?
Yeah.
I'll have to give you his phone number. Okay.
I hope so. Watch out for
his
phone. If you want to, I can.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Rabbi, we're makish meshoris to mevorich. So meshoris doesn't require a sorry.
No.
So if we're makish meshoris to mevorich, so maybe say there's a lot. You don't need a sorry by
just marching.
Usually say any hackers to not. So
other principles of Mishores, unless some of the Mishores don't require. I mean, I assume some of the have ordered, but nope. And one other thing, Rebbe, I want to go to the Tunis Rishos Rebbe to go to Florida December 3rd. I think it's partially by Yishlach or the November.
See what that's like.
Thank you. He have the living book here.
Very good.
I want to ask Rishi, you will not be giving Shir sometime in the end of November. Would it be possible?
May go away.
Yeah.
They go away 2 weeks in a row. They go away for the weekend of Thanksgiving.
December 7th,
Monday. You can just email to me instead of this.